Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Sports Talk with Kelvin Drummond. Joined today by TJ.
What's up?
Not going to waste a lot of time. Got to get right into it. Cavaliers versus the Warriors last night. Stephen Curry was talking a little noise before the game, saying that he hoped locker rooms still smelled like champagne. And I don't know if it did, but sure didn't smell like champagne in the home locker room. Because, TJ, they got blown out.
Yeah.
Like, it was over before the first half. Like, I mean, I know you watched the game. Was that at any point in the game that you honestly felt like the Cavaliers had a shot?
Not one chance.
And it's funny to me because the Cavaliers played all this money in the offseason. Luxury tax, they brought all these players. They brought Mo Williams back. Matthew Dellavedova's re-signed. J.R. Smith, they signed Kevin Love to the big contract. And finally got Tristan Thompson. Kyrie's healthy. Like, they are at full capacity now. Like, it's time.
Yeah.
And all we ever heard was, you know, Cleveland talked about the fact that they felt like if they were healthy in that final, they'd have beaten Golden State Warriors. And you got all your talent at home, no less.
Yes.
And not even a shot. Not even a chance. A glimmer of hope. Nothing.
With their leading scorer only going 16, that was LeBron.
Yes. All right. LeBron, 16 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Kyrie, 14 points. And Kevin Love, 3 points, 6 rebounds. That is my goodness. So, I talked about last episode, my matchup, you know, I want to see Curry versus Kyrie. Curry won that one big time, 35 points compared to 14 points. Curry hit 7 threes. And as amazing as that is, that just feels like an average. It's just good. Like, I read that 35 points, 7 threes, 3 steals. That's what Curry had an average game, but like, it's amazing. Like, this guy. But, like, you know, with all of that, let's not overdo it. He's not top 4 all the time. Yeah, let's do something longer than a year and a half. Come on, guys. Draymond Green, who was, like, to me, the second best player on that team over Klay Thompson. Yeah, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. I like when he gets triple-doubles. Like, because his triple-doubles, to me, seem to matter more. Even if he gets 10 points, it's a 10 points that you can do without, probably. So when he gives you 10 points, I feel like he's part of the reason why your blowouts come. Like, yeah, they can heat up from three, but then if he starts hitting threes and making those nice passes that he was making last night, I mean, 10 assists. And Iguodala had 20 points. So all around good game for the Warriors. Proving once again that they don't need a coach. But I do think the key to beating the Warriors, if someone's going to beat them this year, it's not going small. Like, it's just executing your game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I really truly believe that when Golden State meets up with the Spurs, that Greg Popovich is not going to bench Tim Duncan and LaMarcus Aldridge, because the Golden State Warriors have Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green out there. Like, I'm pretty sure Golden State isn't going to try to go too small with San Antonio, because they're going to respect the fact that San Antonio has the game of their own. So, like, when Cleveland tried to do small ball, I was like, okay, this is – which, you know, Cleveland proved that they don't have a coach. Do you even – and does anyone know that there's a black ever on the sideline?
LeBron's
their coach. LeBron is their coach, which is the problem. That is the problem. He was the coach when he was first there with Mike Woods, not Mike Woodson. Who was his coach in Cleveland when he was there for his first 7 years? Because he's got so many. Yeah, his first coach has, like, one of the top winning percentages, because they've won all the 60-plus wins in the regular season, but never going past the second round of the playoffs. Oh, it's not Mike Woodson. He had a short stint with y'all. Y'all had him for a second. shit I could think of for TJ Fives. Ball headed black guy.
I knew it was
not like there's been that many black head coaches. I know this man's name. If you know out there, you can call or tweet the show. Let us know if you've got it. We have it on the tip of our tongue, but for some reason it's not. I keep wanting to say Mike Woodson, and I know it's not Mike Woodson. We'll come back to that. But anyway, while TJ looks that up, but like I was saying, I don't think small ball is the key to beating the Warriors. It's all about executing your own game. Like they always say, sometimes the best defense is a great offense. So, you know, stop worrying about, you know, what you're going to do when you see them and think about how you're going to stop them. I mean, like, you know, sometimes come into a game and think to yourself, you know, they're going to have a tough time stopping us. Don't always think to yourself that you're already the underdog. I just think across the NBA, there are a lot of teams capable of scoring 100 points or more. There are less teams able to stop teams from scoring 100 points. Basically, it's me saying there's no defense in the NBA. But the Spurs are actually playing good defense, and I can't wait for them to finally match up with Golden State, because I feel like that'll really be the championship game to determine who's the best player. Or the best team, I should say, in the NBA. Gonna move along to the second game of the doubleheader last night, which was Clippers Rockets. A closer game, I guess. Although final scores don't always tell the story, but 140-132. Chris Paul 26 points, 12 assists. JJ Redick 40 franchise records in the amount of threes hit. And DeAndre Jordan, 16 points, 15 rebounds. From the Houston Rockets, Dwight Howard had a big night, 36 points, 26 rebounds. James Harden, 20 points, 8 assists. And Marcus Thornton added 23 points. And I'm not going to go too much into detail about the Clippers in this game. I feel like the Clippers are still putting it all together, but I do think after the All-Star break, they will be a competitive bunch, especially if they stay healthy. Okay. But when you look at the Rockets, I feel they're just the perfect case of why going all in on analytics doesn't work. Like, with analytics, I think for the most part, they're there just to kind of help you understand perhaps where a player shoots best at on the court. Or, you know, what's the success rate of the pick and roll against a certain team? Things like that. But once you start getting into, you know, you can build your team based off the analytics and putting players together, like analytics cannot calculate team chemistry. They can't calculate coaching ability. Obviously they can't calculate that Harden doesn't play defense. I don't know how you build a superstar player off of someone who can't stop anybody or even attempt to stop anybody. I think we have found the head coach, and it is Mike Brown. And I feel even more ashamed because that is just so simple. I guess I was right with the mic, but I kept wanting to say Woodson, and I knew it wasn't. Mike Brown. So that's what I was saying earlier with David Blatt, just to head back a few seconds, that LeBron's never really had a coach.
Could it be because he doesn't want to be a coach?
Well, I don't know, though. You can't really say that. Because if you think, well, what player wants necessarily the disciplined coach, right? You more like, if you already have him, you learn to appreciate him. I don't think anyone necessarily is like, you know, yeah, bring that over here.
But I feel like each person that, you know, gets down to the point where it's like, Well, obviously, I'm going to have my off day because this is where the coach is supposed to step in. You always had like an underrated coach.
I think he's just been like it was never given him. Like, he never had the opportunity to be coached by someone great. Like, he got drafted to Cleveland and Mike Brown is not a coach. And you get Eric Spoelstra in Miami, not a coach. And now you get David Blatt. It's like, he missed out on someone actually being able to teach him how great he, like, if he had ended up with Greg Popovich or Doc Rivers or Phil Jackson, like, then he probably could have been the next Jordan. But we'll never know, and he definitely isn't. We're back to, Clippers Rockets and just, our analytics don't work because James Harden doesn't play defense at all. And is it more of a knock against the Rockets, who want to build their franchise around someone who doesn't want to play defense, or more of a knock against the NBA that they voted him second MVP? Or a knock against the players who voted him the MVP? Because it seems like to me all the future of basketball cares about is who scores the most points.
Who gets the most threes? Who gets the best dunk?
Which, if basketball is going in that direction, I'm not long. I'm sticking around.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll keep up to date with the playoffs, I guess. But MVP discussions or rookie discussions, all-star discussions will be irrelevant to me because I will just remember a greater time when people actually played both sides of the court. Not to mention, threes at this point is becoming less of a skill and more of a cop-out. You got no moves to get by me, do you? That's like, essentially, like, right? A lot of people taking threes now, a lot of people are just known as specialists because at the end of the day, what they actually can't do is put the ball on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Kyle Korver. Like, oh, you should be an all-star last year. He's so great. He's 50% from 3-point. Yeah, what if you put the ball on the ground then? When's the last time he pump faked and went around somebody?
I don't think there's a picture out of him doing it.
So, I'm really against the whole NBA moving towards the analytics world. Not to mention, I also feel like a move towards analytics is like a move towards coaches who are more analytical, which I think we can already kind of diagram out who would be considered analytical coaches. So, let's hope not to go in that particular direction. Still matters about what happens on the court. Remember, you get the numbers from what happened on the court. All right, TJ, I'm starting to hear this stupid Porzingis is going to be a star talking to
you. Yeah, like I told you, they're going to keep that hope alive until he gets hurt. Eventually, someone gets hurt.
But I think what surprises me more is that they can't even come with like respectable numbers or feats that he does. Last night, 16 points, 12 rebounds, and a win over the Sixers. Oh, stop me there. Stop me there for the star.
I bet there was multiple free throws.
But I was watching Dan Levitard from Highly Questionable, him and Bomani Jones. And they love to talk about Porzingis, which I love Dan and Bomani, but they always like disappoint me when they buy into the hype of Kristaps Porzingis. They try to talk about how great he was becoming as a star because he has shown the ability to hit a shot from deep range, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this game, he walks up, they pass it to him as soon as he crossed half court, and he, pulls up for the three and makes it.
Wow.
And, they're talking about, he's going to be 7'3", and that's kind of unstoppable if you're pulling up from 30 and, all that stuff. Dirk Nowitzki never existed. But they showed that replay, I counted, 8 times in a row while they were talking about all the greatness of Porzingis to look out for. And all you can do is rotate one clip of someone walking across the half court line and getting the ball and shooting it. So he didn't even do that two or three times to, like, prove that that's on a consistent basis. I mean, every now and then someone hits a half-court shot for free tacos for everybody in the arena. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, but if you're 7'3", if you're seriously supposed to be some freak of nature that's going to take over, then do it. Because what he's doing is not doing. Like, Shaq was a freak of nature, and it immediately showed.
Mm-hmm.
Even LeBron was a freak of nature, and it immediately showed. Kevin Garnett was a freak of nature, and it immediately showed. Dirk Nowitzki. Like, what am I saying from Kristaps Porzingis? Nothing. At all. I looked at his average. He's still not averaging double-digit rebounds. Which, amazingly, if I'm not mistaken, Karl-Anthony Towns and Jahlil Okafor have better numbers, and they keep talking about how young Kristaps Porzingis is, and he's 19. And mistake me if I'm, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but doesn't everyone get drafted to the league at 19 pretty much since they made the rule? Like, it used to be probably like 18 if you come out of high school. Like, what are you talking about? He's only 19. Yeah, they it's a young man's game. Moving on, guys. Hey, I understand, because it's Porzingis. What is that?
Nothing.
I just get upset that I keep hearing it, and it's just, it's so obvious why they're talking about it, because, you know, the only person that looks like them. I'm going to go ahead and see who everyone thinks their top five MVP candidates are for the NBA. If you have them in your mind, even though I just said in a few years I won't care about MVPs. But for the time being, I do, because I, my MVP candidates, they do play both sides of the court. So we'll get TJ's top five, but first I'll give mine in no particular order, except for the first person I name and the last person I name. So pretty much the 2 through 4. Like, I haven't gotten that sort of the five. But one right now would be Curry. Then Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, and then my fifth would be LeBron James, just because simply I can't disrespect LeBron that much to say that there are five people in the NBA better than him, because I don't think I can name five people in the NBA better than him, because a lot of y'all fall up short when I want y'all to do something. So anyway, but I think right now Curry obviously leads. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Jimmy Butler to me are just taking off. Jimmy Butler is starting to do things in a Bulls jersey that Michael Jordan didn't even do. So once you start doing stuff like that, oh, man. And then Paul George is coming back from that leg injury, like, it made him better. And Kawhi Leonard just always quietly dominates. So we'll get TJ's top five.
Mine is obviously the same, almost the same. Curry, Butler, George, Curry, Butler, George. I want to put LeBron there. Who's your fourth?
My fourth is Jimmy Butler. I have Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah. Kawhi goes definitely in front of LeBron. I think LeBron gets shut down every time, but Kawhi. I want to put LeBron at five. I put him more at six. I know there's someone out there who just deserves it more. I'm saying deserve. I'm trying to think who. Andre Drummond. You know, I always say that to me.
I am a big fan of Andre Drummond. Obviously, free. Yeah.
So, but then,
long lost cousin, hoping.
Then LeBron.
Okay.
So, my six, I should say.
Should always also point out that TJ is a known.
I'm a bit biased of LeBron James, I must say. It's because I'm known. I know that so much people overrate or overhype some things they do, and then they just
true.
Are totally blindsided what's really happening. So, you know, but it's cool.
We all have to admit that there is an overrating of LeBron James.
Well, you can't forget, I did put him six. Now, I didn't want to be two biased.
That's true. You do show your respect to LeBron. You don't completely dismiss him. And you do give him credit for the things that he does outside of basketball. So, but on the court is on the court. All right, so now we're going to move into some quick NFL talk. Just a quick review of the weekend games. The Chiefs lost to the Patriots 27-20. Pretty much Brady and Belichick still doing it with the help of Gronk, obviously, polar bear that you can't tackle. And the Chiefs pretty much lost because they have Alex Smith at quarterback and Andy Reid as head coach. Green Bay Packers lost to the Cardinals in overtime, 26-20, despite two Hail Mary passes by Aaron Rodgers. Those were two pretty amazing passes. Suspect defense, but better offense. So they won. They lost despite those two Hail Mary passes. Carson Palmer playing timid, like the old Carson Palmer. But thanks to Larry Fitzgerald, still being that dude, and just pretty much that whole run, I felt like he was just saying, I've wasted too many seasons to go home.
I actually thought he was going to score that
one,
man.
I couldn't believe he actually made it that far, but I was like, that's keeping yourself in shape.
Yeah. Once he got that far, like, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, and then he got the shovel pass and
finished
it off. So
that's what should have happened.
That was probably the I feel like that was probably the most entertaining game over the weekend. More so because of the ending than the whole event. But anyway. Panthers outlast the Seahawks, 31-24. Panthers came out hot and ready, moving fast. Jumped up on them, 31-0 in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the 1 o'clock kickoff may have affected the Seahawks. If you think, you do remember that obviously the Seahawks are in Seattle. They are a West Coast time. So, kind of got to, you know, for them, they were playing at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then that, so that you may have think, you know, maybe their bodies kind of woke up for that second half when they came back and had the Panthers a little bit on the edge of their seats, but Panthers were able to hold on. They had already done enough damage. Marshawn Lynch was ineffective in that game.
Yeah.
Not matter having him back. Not too surprised. That's a hard position to just come back in the playoffs and be dominant at. Cam Newton had the highest completion percentage in the franchise for his franchise in franchise history for a playoff game. And the Seahawks window may be closing. They're going to have to pay some guys. They've already paid Russell Wilson, which obviously quarterback position takes up much of your salary cap space. So I'm pretty sure Marshawn Lynch won't be coming back. Cam Chancellor is definitely going to revisit his contract again. And I believe Michael Bennett and Bobby Wagner's contracts are up. So should be interesting. Last game was the Steelers fall short against the Broncos, 16-23. It was the most depressing game of the weekend. You had Big Ben, who somehow got enough injections and whatever they give you during the week to overcome a strained shoulder to be able to throw over 300 yards against the Broncos' number one rated defense, which is why I don't like rankings of defenses when I don't feel like it's been a strong season. So when you tell me that Big Ben throws 300 yards on the number one defense without Antonio Brown, I'm like, man. It's almost like that year when Tim Tebow beat the Pittsburgh Steelers for his first playoff win, and they were saying that was the Pittsburgh Steelers were the number one ranked defense that year, you know, despite the fact that Troy Polamalu, you know, and Ryan Clark, a lot of people were injured for that game, so he didn't really beat the number one defense. But anyway, that game was just depressing. Just watching Peyton Manning throw the ball in general is now depressing. And that head is huge, man. It has grown. It has grown. And
still growing.
Look here, I'm not really finished. I'm not here to get into the whole if he used HGH after the whole neck surgery to help himself out. Quite frankly, personally, I don't care if athletes in the NFL use things to help their bodies heal or whatever, because that is the most painful sport. And none of us know what it's like to run into someone over and over again and then next week expect to play again. So So I do think they should legalize marijuana for NFL players because it has less side effects than Toradol and all the other things that they want to, you know, that these athletes end up getting addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't sit here and act like we never condemn someone on steroid use just because their head got bigger, because we sure condemn Barry Bonds on that because of it. So just saying, you know, they do that screen at the bottom for the NFL games and they show you all the players on the offense. So, yeah, Peyton Manning's head is not fitting that box, man. Not fitting there. Looks like someone photoshopped it. But anyway, I want to get to a fan letter directed towards Cam Newton. This fan was in attendance at the Seahawks-Panthers playoff game, and TJ, they did not quite like anything that Mr. Cam Newton did after the game.
Of course not.
So I'm going to read this quick letter from Sarah, a Seattle Seahawks fan of the 12th man. So, one second here. I'll pull it up for you guys. Okay. Dear Mr. Newton, I am a Seahawks fan. I bleed blue and green. Although I will be the first to tell you that today we did not bring our A game and were beat fair and square. There is one thing, though. One thing that needs to be said. My news feed is filled with you, Mr. Newton, and not in a good way. A video of you pulling a 12th flag down and throwing it to the ground like garbage. You see the one that people don't realize is Seahawks fans aren't just fans. And I just want to pause and say I do know how to read. I'm reading verbatim what they wrote. The 12th man is a community, a family, that regardless of winning, stand behind our team and our community. So you see, Cam, disrespecting the 12th man flag isn't just disrespecting our team. It is disrespecting the fans that back our team, a community that feeds and clothes the homeless, a community that raises funds for families in hard times, a community that helps a 3-year-old girl battle cancer, a community that has more grace and respect than you could imagine. You see, Cam, while you are practicing for your next game, our quarterback will be at the Seattle Children's Hospital raising the flag that you shamefully threw to the ground, and he will be placing them on hospital wiles of the little 12s. So, Cam, the next time you think of disrespecting our flag, I hope you remember that even though you may have won this game, it is the Seahawks and the 12th man who are the real winners. Win or lose, we come with class, respect, a love for the game, a willingness to help others, love for God, and for those surrounding us. So, Mr. Classless Cam Newton, good luck, and may God teach you what real winning looks like. Signed, Sarah.
Are you that angry?
Ain't you mad?
Are you that angry that you decided to write this
song? So, exactly. And I think the funniest part in this letter, which is always funny when fans are this into it, it throws me off. Like, you're a little too attached.
Yeah.
To something that you have no impact on. But when she says that their quarterback will be hanging the flag for the 12s at the Seattle Children's Hospital.
I've never seen that one.
Yeah, he's going to be there because he lost. So the real winners are the ones that are on the scoreboard and then the winning column are going to the next round. And not you. And I'm pretty sure, like, Cam Newton has gotten to the point where he's like, why would I try to please y'all? Like, you're not going to like me anyway.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that he just does what he wants to do.
I seen this quote today. It said, change the game. Don't let the game change you. Y'all, he's just saying the same person that he was. He just, you know.
Always smiling.
Yep. You can't change the way to the typical winner. If that's the way he wants to win, man, the guys will just suck it up.
Not to mention, he's 15-1 this year, will be the MVP, and he still has the towel over his head, which is not him being depressed, obviously, like you guys tried to make it seem like his first 4 years in the league. We'll be right back with Sports Talk with Kelvin Jones.